Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week, my guest is Julian Bird. He is the Chief Executive of the Society of London Theatre, and he's going to be talking about what we should be seeing in the West End coming up now, and just a tiny little sneaky preview of what we might expect for the Olivier Awards. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast with me, Alice Arnold. In the studio this week, I have Julian Bird. Julian, our regular contributor, who knows everything about West End theatre. So you should, of course. In his job. We know the Olivier's happen in April and we're kind of really excited about them. We're not going to talk about them hugely in this podcast because the nominations are not out. When are the nominations
March
out?
March the 5th. So the cutoff date for shows to be eligible is actually Tuesday coming up. So Tuesday the 19th. The shows have to have their official press night by Tuesday night is the last night. So actually on Tuesday, only Fools and Horses, the musical opens. That's the final one.
I was going to say there's something rang a bell and I thought there's something opening. When does Come From Away open?
Come From Away opens on Monday, so tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So they've just got in time.
Yeah. Yes. Tonight, 9 to 5. The musical has its big opening night at the Savoy Theatre tonight, Sunday night.
And they're all just
Monday is
in.
Come From Away, Tuesday is Only Fools and Horses, the musical. So they're all getting in just before that magic cut-off date, yep. Mm. And then we announce the nominations on March the 5th.
Right, well, we will do another podcast with you when we will discuss all the nominations
absolutely.
And who we think is going to win. You won't tell us, obviously, but I'll make a guess.
We won't know by then. So.
No, I know you won't know who's going to win, but you won't even guess who's going to win because you're very impartial,
Very
Julian.
Impartial.
You
yeah.
are. But, well, we've talked a little bit about some of these new shows that are coming, because there is a lot of new stuff coming
absolutely.
Into the West End now, which is for the spring, which is absolutely brilliant. Mm. Tell us a bit about Come From Away. I am going to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. So
Come From Away is this absolutely extraordinary show that came out of Canada and out of America, actually around 9/11. So sort of, one of the world's worst tragic events, you know, that everyone can kind of visually remember with the Twin Towers. But it's about how all the planes that were in the air got diverted, if you remember, to different places. And lots of them got diverted to this tiny weeny place in Canada called Gander in Newfoundland. And hence the Come From Away. So it's about how all these people from all over the world descended on this very tiny town. And it's sort of about the relationships between some of the town people and the people who ended up landing there and staying for several days.
And their stories, presumably.
And their stories and how they all intertwine and everything. It's very, very moving and very, very heartwarming. I was fortunate enough to see it in Broadway and it's still running. It's a huge hit in Broadway and in Toronto, as you might imagine. And it's a huge hit in Canada. I think it's rather wonderful. So I hope British audiences take to it as well. So
I'm sure we will. There's another play that's come over from Broadway, Admissions.
Yes, it is coming. Yes,
is that
that's right.
going to be in time?
No,
for,
it's not in time, unfortunately. No, with Alex Kingston, which the Trafalgar Studios. That's not for a few weeks yet. So yeah, that's a bit later, unfortunately.
Oh yes,
yeah, that'll be in next year's awards. So yeah.
Do you think there's an advantage to getting your entry in just before the cutoff point, or do you think it's better to have been running for the whole time?
I don't know. It's quite interesting. You know, we've had this kind of turnover this winter of shows that closed early in January with the new ones opening. We haven't quite had this phenomenon, actually, in London. They have it in New York just before the cutoff for the Tony Awards. So here it'll be interesting to see, won't it? You know, with three major musicals kind of opening just before the cutoff. Mm. And a number of plays, you know, All About Eve, has just opened, and The Price with David Suchet has just opened. So, you know, there's been quite a large volume of major productions.
And I suppose, I mean, it's not a public vote. It's a panel who are voting, isn't it?
So, correct. So we have a public panel and then the theatre owners and producers and general managers all join together. So, yes.
So right. It's not as if people won't have been able to see it and therefore won't be able to vote.
Correct.
Because they're not voting anyway. What it does depend on is that panel and those people remembering performances from maybe a few months ago and then comparing them with these recent
performances. Everyone who votes remembering that, but, you know, people keep notes through the year and, you know, you remember the things that stand out, I think.
I think that's an issue. You remember how it makes you feel.
Exactly.
I think,
exactly.
which is a big thing.
You know, we have over 100 productions in the main theatre categories open every year in London. It's an extraordinary amount. kind of shows the kind of huge rich diversity we have in London, really. Mm.
Talking about another musical that you just mentioned that's about to open, 9 to 5.
Yes.
Which Dolly Parton, presumably, were all her songs.
Absolutely, and... yes. And Dolly appears on screen in the show and people remember the movie. It was done in America. This is a brand new version for the UK that, you know, she's actually part of the producing team on. So I haven't seen it. I'm seeing it tonight, that it's extraordinary fun. And just real feel good and a great fun night in the theatre. So I can't wait, personally.
And all the songs are Dolly Parton songs.
And all Dolly Parton songs, and that's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
Next week I'm going to see one that's been on for a while, but I expect might be up for Olivier's, is Tina the Musical, Tina
the musical,
Turner.
Yeah, which has this spellbinding lead performance by the actress playing Tina Turner called Adrienne Warren, who is sort of... fairly well known on Broadway. She's not a big star, and this is really her breakout role. And actually, the producers have just announced she's going to open the show on Broadway this autumn. So people haven't got long left to see her. I think she finishes in London towards the end of April in the lead, and she's absolutely spellbinding. So we may well see her on the Olivier stage on the night. Let's see, depending on the nomination.
Yeah, it's interesting how these sort of shows that focus on one person's music or one person's career are really popular now, aren't they?
I guess it's the back catalogues, and I won't give too much away because you haven't seen it yet either. No. But you know, the thing with Tina Turner, we all perhaps remember the movie and the you know, the stories and articles that have been written about her. You know, she has this extraordinary story. Some of it really quite tragic. It's not all saccharine and lovely. There's some really tragic parts to her life, and particularly you might remember the relationship with her ex-husband. You know. And that's covered, you know, I would say properly in the show. It's not glossed over. And she has a fascinating story. If you remember that, you know, Jersey Boys, which is still on tour, mm-hmm. but was in London for a long time. I think one of the reasons that ran for so long in my mind is not just that kind of amazing back catalogue of songs, but they just had this phenomenal story about how they came together, split apart, their families, the relationships around them. And I think... some of those, you know, these iconic musical figures around us do have these stories.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It needs to have a strong story linking it. I think if it just becomes a concert, for some of us, that's not enough.
But you
enough,
are you
really.
Are right. You know, the building around these, particularly, I think at the moment, these very, very strong female characters. You know, real life characters. But you know, Tina Turner in America, they've just had the Donna Summer musical. And there's a musical based on the life and music of Cher out there at the moment in America on Broadway. So there is. You're absolutely right. There seems to be a trend around these kind of major female pop stars,
And especially when they're still living. I guess they're seeing them and they're influencing them, and they're, you know, having quite a large part.
And as you know, Tina was there on the opening night of her own musical, watching her own life kind of unfold in front of her. I guess the first one of these, you know, female wise, was of. Was beautiful, of course.
Well,
you know,
I was going to say Carole King.
You know, and which once again didn't shy away from the difficult moments. It was, and Ran had a hugely successful run here in London as well.
And talking about other straight plays that are coming up, which new ones are...
Well, All About Eve, which is, based on the famous movie, Gillian Anderson, Lily James, and an amazing supporting cast at the Noel Coward. As I just mentioned, David Suchet and The Price at an Arthur Miller play, maybe one of the less well-known Arthur Miller plays. David Suchet playing this kind of extraordinary, aged, sort of antiques collector stroke valuer. I mean, it's a tour de force performance, quite extraordinary. We have a rich vein of stuff around at the moment, and how the voters are going to choose who to nominate, let alone who to win, is going to be interesting.
Just thinking about some of the other areas of the arts that perhaps we don't talk about quite so much, opera, the ENO is really trying to break new ground this year with the cheaper tickets and trying to make opera more accessible.
Yes, they have, and there's a new leadership team at the ENO, and they're really kind of pushing the boundaries a bit, as you said, to try and get more young people in, maybe bring people in to experience opera for the first time. And there's these new ticket schemes for younger people. But also, you know, programmatically, they've been doing some interesting things, you know, bringing back some of the old repertoire, but also doing some new things and opening the Colosseum, their home up a little bit to some other things. So Man of La Mancha, You know, which is a musical, but on the operatic end of musicals, with Kelsey Grammer and an opera singer called Danielle Denise, you know, opens at the end of April. So, you know, they're looking at ways to use the ENO chorus, the ENO orchestra, and bring a different audience in. It's exciting.
And in the world of dance, what have we... Because dance is such a huge thing now. I mean, you only have to watch the television, that Best Dancer show on...
Yeah, well, on Greatest Dancer anyway. On the BBC.
Greatest
Dancer, you know,
that's
I mean,
the one.
And Strictly yeah, Come Dancing. Which... I was very fortunate to go to the Strictly Live Tour, actually, at the O2.
Just oh, yes, how was that?
A couple of weekends ago. I'm absolutely huge event. Extraordinary. Totally sold out for four performances over the weekend.
You can't believe that, really, can you? How many does the O2 hold?
Oh, I mean, that's... Because it's all, obviously there's a huge dance from the middle. I think it's like 14,000 each performance.
But that's
it's absolutely
huge.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
And dance sort of has exploded, hasn't it, as a thing? And you know, Sadler's Wells is the home of kind of, if you like, modern dance, not just modern, but primarily modern dance from all around the world in London. And you know, for those people who go and watch Strictly and Greatest Dancer, you know, go and experience something at Sadler's Wells. You know, they have tickets at all prices, and you can see what some of the world's best are. Are all about. I mean, quite extraordinary.
And we've got some big things coming up this summer, which will not be eligible for Olivier Awards. It'll be next year's. But there's a big new production of Joseph opening
there
at the Palladium.
There is, at the Palladium,
there?
Yes. Really exciting for those of us that sort of grew up with the seminal Just Joseph
I've
productions
got to see
of the past.
It. I know every word. I'm actually
so
just reading Andrew Lloyd Webber's autobiography. Have you read it?
Yes, Unmasked.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
It reads like he's speaking, and he's quite
And you'll
brutal.
Remember, you know, we closed the Olivier's last year with a big tribute to Joseph's 50th anniversary. But yes, this big new reimagining, new production of Joseph opens in the summer. I think it opens sort of end of June, beginning of July, at the Palladium, where the last major London production was, which obviously had Jason Donovan and Philip Schofield and Darren Day in kind of across the run. So
do we know
this
who's
space
Joseph?
For cast. We do not publicly know who is Joseph yet, or any other casting, but.
You just said there's publicly.
There's a little bit of excitement to be announced there in due course, I know.
A huge excitement, I expect.
And you know, let's not forget also Waitress, which also opens, major musical from America, which misses the Olivier's cutoffs, will be in next year. It's in previews at the moment, but opens in March. Written by Sarah Bareilles, you know, quite a famous pop star from the US. And... I mean, it's a huge hit in America, this show, Waitress. It's been running now. I think it's in its third year on Broadway, based around a waitress in a pie shop, basically. And Catherine McPhee, who some people will know from all sorts of television programmes, is opening the show here in the lead role. It's great. I can't say any more than that. I loved it when I saw it.
Who else is in
it? It's Marisha Wallace, who lots of people will know from Dreamgirls. And a guy called Jack McBrayer, who you'd know from various American kind of comedy programs, is also in.
So Americans are coming over here to do it.
Two Americans, and the rest are all British cast, just to start it off. And then, you know, there'll be more British casting to follow. But it's once again a very, you know, warm, affirming show.
So it sounds like the West End's in a pretty good state at the moment. There's lots of things I want to see, and that's not always, I've seen all of that, but actually I look at the listings now and I go, oh gosh, I really need to go and see that before it closes or that before it closes.
And how great, you know, doing what I do, which is sort of help look after the entire industry, to be able to come in here and talk about so much new that's coming, so many new productions, plays, musicals, dance.
The Lyric Hammersmith.
Wonderful. There's a musical at the Lyric Hammersmith at the moment. That's right.
Which
starring Tyrone Huntley.
Yes, Leave to Remain. Is it called Leave to Remain? It is called Leave to Remain. And I think it's just about to close.
It is, unfortunately.
And
it's had a fairly short run. And we'll see if it gets a future life.
That was going to be my question. Because everyone I know who's seen it said it was absolutely brilliant. And they assumed or hoped that it would go on somewhere else.
As you said, you know, we keep opening extraordinary productions. You know, we've got a production of Sweet Charity to come at the Donmar Warehouse, and whenever they do a musical, it's hard to get a ticket. You know, with Anne-Marie Duff
and Arthur Darvill. It's about 50 people. That's the trouble with the Donmar.
But it's extraordinary, isn't it, that this kind of, you know, creativity is happening all over London theatre. It's great.
Well, we will look forward to seeing you again soon, Julian, when we will talk about the nominations, because they'll be out then.
They will.
And we'll be able to discuss them openly and properly.
And I would say, before we even get nominations, it's a very open year this year. You know, we have a huge number of productions. You know, I'm not saying we all sort of knew what would happen last year, but when you have a Hamilton...
But we did.
When you have a Hamilton in the race, the expectation is that Hamilton's going to get a lot of nominations and it's going to clearly be in. This year, it's much more open and a huge number of productions have opened.
Because so. Actually, the last 2 years, because we had Hamilton last year and we had the Harry Potter one the year before. And so Ruthie and I, sitting in our basement, kind of knew what probably what was going to win everything.
And I don't think that is...
It'll be rather
really
more exciting, actually, if we don't
know. It'll be an exciting night.
Yeah, it always is.
Hope so.
Anyway, we'll speak to you again, Julian, before the night.
Thank you very much.
In the build-up. That was Julian Bird, the Chief Executive of the Society of London Theatre. And if you enjoyed that podcast, well, why not listen to some of the other podcasts that you can find on the site? Just download them. And if you enjoyed them, why not rate them, review them, tell us that you liked them, and subscribe. I'm Alice Arnold. Goodbye.